Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how are we doing today, my friend?
Doing well, Jim. Doing very well. Thank you. And how be you, sir?
I am not too bad. Getting past some technical issues, recording a couple shows today, and, you know, some self-inflicted pain. But we've gotten past that, and now we get a chance to sit down and talk to you about football. Andy, that is one of my favorite things to do. And as we're now definitely into the off season, we're through spring practice, we're through the spring game, I still have some questions about this team, and here's the format I'd like to present to you today.
Sure.
I want to go position by position.
All right.
And ask you questions, all right? I'm doing that also with Jeff Byers this week. You guys are getting different questions.
Okay.
But we're doing that same format. We're going through the different position groups. And let me start with running back, okay?
Ooh, cool.
Here's my question for you. We know what we have there with Nick Singleton, Catron Allen. You got a 1 and 1A at the very least there. But my question is, you've got a new offensive coordinator. How differently and what differences will we see in how the running backs are going to be used?
So I think you'll see a little more diversity. I think you'll see a little bit more inside, outside out of the two. Both are capable of doing a little bit of both well. I mean, clearly Nick Singleton's a little better in space than Catron Allen. Catron Allen's a little bit better in tight quarters than Nick Singleton. But it's not like either one of them has a weakness on the other side. You know what I mean? But one's just clearly better than the other. They're not specific in a box type running backs. They're not, you know, sort of boxed in running backs. Don't think that Andy won't use them in many different ways. I think you'll see the running backs in the slot. I think you'll see the running backs in motion out of the backfield into an empty set because he likes to do a lot of motion. I think you'll see running backs coming across the formation in motion to you know, aid this offense. I think there's so many ways you can use them. And I know it's an either-or proposition, but this is pretty much the last year you're going to have them, right? They're both third-year guys. They're both probably going to go to the NFL. I think you got to get them on the field more together and just use them different ways, right? I just think with the assets that you have, and, of course, all roads lead back to the wide receiver, and the lipstick you're going to have to put a pig at that position, or that you're going to try and continue to do and put more lipstick on it, why not take your best assets and use them even more? Why not make this offense about the running backs? Why not make them the center of this offense? Why not use them both in many different ways? They're good enough. I mean, they didn't take that huge step forward after, you know, that splash they made, that huge off the high dive splash they made in their freshman year. But still, Jimmy, 1,700 combined yards, 14 touchdowns. And the two of them, when you team up their averages, they average 4.7 yards a carry rushing. That's really solid. Oh, and they caught 40 passes. So I think it's all about what you can expect from Andy is to use them in many, many different ways. And I'm more in favor of getting them both on the field even more.
Andy, I think you're right. And I'll add to it by saying this. A year ago or last season, there was so much criticism about not getting the explosive plays, and specifically Nick Singleton. And an offensive coordinator lost his job in part because of this, okay? And Andy Kotelnicki, he was brought in to provide that. So, you know, this is James Franklin's going to say to Andy Kotelnicki, we had none of those big plays out of Nick Singleton. That's what you are tasked to do. That is your job. And can you want this job, that's what you're going to have to do. And I don't want to go overboard on the Michigan State game which happened after Mike Yurcich was let go and they were doing offensive coordinator essentially by committee. Right. But you could already see there that they were looking to get those receivers, those running backs catching the ball, get them on the outside. And there were various times those bubble screens that often went to the wide receivers, multiple times they went to Nick Singleton, they went to Catron Allen. I'll also add, everyone shows the highlight when Nick Singleton had the big run after catch in that game. Tyler Warren had a monster block. He blew somebody up. Two other times they ran the play, they maybe not got 50, 60 yards, but Tyler Warren still blew somebody up in those other plays. It went unnoticed. I'm bringing that up, Andy, to also point out they brought in a new wide receiver who's also pretty good at blocking.
Yeah.
By the name of Julian Fleming.
Yeah, he's exceptional at blocking. It's actually either number one or number two on his strength list as a collegiate wide receiver. That's just the way I see him, the way he's developed. He's an exceptional blocker. So you said a minute ago, Andy was brought in to sort of, you know, this is one of Andy's specialties, taking a running back and making that offense better by using multiple running backs. James has brought him in for that reason. You're 100% right. And that reason specifically. And oh, by the way, he's handing him two thoroughbreds in addition to bringing him in for that reason. Oh, here, come on in because this is your specialty. And we recruit this position really well. And let me start you with a couple seasoned thoroughbreds that have 2 years under their belt. Here you go, Andy.
Makes the job a little bit easier.
Makes his job a lot easier in some ways, shapes, or forms.
We see that strength at the running back, Andy. Let me jump over to our favorite, our wide receivers. And, you know, I've said this over and over again. I think Julian Fleming has a high floor. He's going to give you at least this much, is my feeling. Trey Wallace just has to stay healthy. Okay, I know that's a big if, but if he stays healthy, I feel pretty good about those two receivers. Question for you about the wide receivers. Is there a third wide receiver that will step up?
Has to be Caden Saunders, Jimmy. It has to be. It has to be. It has to be the talent realized. James has continued to say it, and he's not wrong. There is talent in the wide receiver room, albeit unrealized and underdeveloped. There's no other way to put it. Unrealized and underdeveloped. Caden, he's kind of admitted himself that making the jump from high school to college was more difficult for him than he imagined. He struggled to find his way onto the field because of that. Like, he wasn't up to speed with where he needed to be, but he has all this talent, a ton of unrealized talent. I think he's grown into being a collegiate receiver. Now, it's taken him 3 years to get there. Okay, this is it. This is the time for it to be realized, because he was a high-end recruit. He has a lot of overt skills that you can clearly see and know and existed. He was a much ballyhooed recruit coming out of high school. Time to see a little bit of that. This feels like his time more than any other receiver of the, you know, half dozen plus receivers they have in that room. And I know, you know, Wallace has to stay healthy. And by the way, I'd love to hear what your production thing is for Julian Fleming. I'd like to hear your number. But it is Caden Saunders' time if these receivers are going to be anything less than just something you're trying to hide, or they're trying to put lipstick on the pig again. That's just my opinion.
You know, the numbers, it's so hard to call with wide receivers. It's so dependent on who's healthy, who's available, who they play, who they target, you know, and will Julian Fleming become the guy that he's just dependent on, you know, that go-to guy when all else fails? I know Julian Fleming will run the right route, be where I need him, he'll be open. He may not give me a 50-yard completion, but he'll give me a 10-yard completion and a first down. You know, Trey Wallace is the guy. and you know, I was very high on him going into last season, and I still believe the talent's there. And injuries, I always hesitate to call people injury prone, okay? Because injuries can be so random. There were times in my life where I broke multiple bones within a year or two. You know, if you had targeted me at a certain age, I was injury prone, Andy. But they just random. You know, yeah. It just.
I don't think he's injury prone yet, Jimmy. But if it looks anything close to this year, what it did last year, that's game over. He's injury prone.
That's it.
But to call him injury prone, I'm thinking for Julian Fleming, 50 to 55 catches. 725 yards, 5 or 6 touchdowns with the blocking and everything else he's going to bring to the table. That is massive high production in my estimation.
Same here, Andy. And it's, I don't think he will also make, he's not the guy who will drop the pass on 3rd and 8. Okay. I believe he'll make the catch. And No wide receiver is perfect, okay? That they all have dropped. But I don't think this is a guy where the moment will ever be too big for him, that it'll be against this team, he's not going to play well. I don't think he'll be – there's a game where he'll be spectacular with multiple 50-yard catches.
He's not that receiver. Here's what I think.
But he's going to be dependable.
Here's the most important thing for Julian Fleming. The blocking is going to matter. He's just going to be good at it. Be where you're supposed to be. Be where exactly where the quarterback expects you to be 4 out of 5 times every time you run a route. Be where you're supposed to be 80-90% of the time, and the quarterback will find you. That's really literally so important for him. I think that's sort of an unspoken thing, is if he can just make himself available and be where he's supposed to be and open 4 out of 5 times, but be where he's supposed to be, and then it becomes a quarterback's responsibility to get him the ball.
I was just going to say, it's as important as it is for him, it's probably more important for Drew Aller that he's where he's supposed to be, and we're going to get to our Drew Aller question, Andy, when we come back. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
It's quarter number 2 on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 2. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. And Andy, what we're doing is we're going position by position. I'm giving you my question in that area of the team. We're on the offensive side. We got through just a couple positions. Let's see what we can do this quarter number 2, if we could get through the rest of the offense.
Sure.
Let's start at quarterback. And, you know, simple question, Drew Aller, does he need to be better?
No, but yes. No, but he has to be better in big games. That was his only flaw, Jimmy. I mean, he has to be more of a leader. He has to be less of a crybaby or a whiner and so hard on himself that it's pretty obvious that he's being impacted and it's impacting everybody else. But in terms of his quarterback stuff, I mean, for a single season at Penn State, last year he was 3rd in touchdowns, you know, 5th in total touchdowns, 6th in completions, 7th in attempts. It was his first year as a starter, you know. That's, he didn't He didn't throw interceptions because it was the biggest deal on the planet. But, you know, I think some of the West Virginia games set the bar even higher and sort of set him up for expectations. But they're going to have more of those difficult games this year. They're going to have more than Ohio State and Michigan. And he was truly, gosh, awful in any way, shape, and form in those games. Just tragically awful. So that's going to be his measuring stick. I don't think the strength of this offense will be built around him. I don't think you want to build the offense around him. I just think he needs to grow up as a leader and as, you know, sort of recognizing his own shortcomings and not, you know, playing them out for everybody to see and feel and read. Look, he's his own harshest critic. I get it. But understand the hand you're dealt and what you're working with. Take a little bit more command and control of this offense. You know, be, you know, sort of the captain of the ship out there a little bit. That matters too. The kid works hard. He's got incredible arm talent. Incredible arm talent. He's dedicated. He loves the universities, at all that good stuff. It's just these little nuanced things, and you'll see a better version. But football-wise, in terms of a pure quarterback, other than being gosh-awful in big games, I'd say he was well above expectations, Jimmy.
Well, that's the thing. Going into last season, we all talked about 10-2. There were 10 games you would be the definitive favorite. They won all 10 of those. But let's not sugarcoat those 10 wins also. There were a couple games where that offense was a little slow getting started. They were very dependent on the defense keeping them going. And, you know, it's hard for us to pinpoint, you know, quarterback, wide receiver. Sometimes you see those throws that look to go to nobody. There's no accuracy there. But was the wide receiver where he was supposed to be? There were a couple times when it was pretty obvious the wide receiver was not where he was supposed to be. And you're right, though. You get the feeling Drew Allen lets that get to him. He gets frustrated, disappointed, and that's a problem. That can't be. He's got to do this with confidence. And I'll point out also something that James Franklin said that a lot of people, you know, kind of glossed over, but he talked about getting Drew Aller some easy plays, some easy wins, some easy completions in those big games. And when you start a game, run, pass, punt, you know, run, and then the first time he throws the ball, it's 3rd and 10.
It was hard to watch him try and fun. He played terrible, but he was also set up to fail because they had no plan or purpose on what they were doing. That was a different scenario, but he still just has to be he just has to be a little bit better at some of the small things, because the big things that matter, arm talent, ability to find receivers down the field, throw touchdowns, take care of the ball, really good at.
Yes, the talent is there, Andy. We got to see it now in the big games. All right, let's move on. Let's hit the offensive line. And I think it's worth reminding folks, they had two tackles drafted early on this offensive line.
Yep.
And they had their center drafted also.
Yep.
So let's start with those two tackles. Do you have a concern about replacing them?
I don't, to be honest with you. Now, I say that from a perspective of, look, when you have two NFL draftable tackles and one's a first round top 15 pick, that's jumping off the high dive, Jimmy, right? Like, they launched last year on the high dive. They're better in a different way at tackle because they have more options. I really feel that you might see some tackle by committee to start this year. I still think Drew Shelton stands out above the rest, healthy, that he's your left tackle. But I mean, looking at the other tackle, Nolan's got 3 years of college and he's got a name and he was highly recruited and yada yada. But he hasn't. Anthony Donko, playing in the bowl game last year, laid down more tape than Nolan Rucci has in college. So there's still a lot to learn about which one of those tackles plays out. I think they have four tackles. I think Javon Williams has caught up from playing high school football in a wing T offense. being a very talented kid who only run block to learn how to be, you know, an FBS tackle. I think they have four options. And I think they're going to go with, I wouldn't be surprised and don't be surprised if you're seeing a regular rotation among three tackles first couple, two, 3 weeks of the season. But they're all starting from the low dive, right? They have no high-end stuff here, Jimmy. This is all starting from the low dive, looking to build up to the high dive. That's the best way I know how to put it for you.
To me, the offensive line's greatest strength is depth.
Can you
translate that depth into five guys you trust to put out there together? And to your point, we may see a little bit of, you know, position by committee till they kind of work out, all right, this is the best combination. These are the best people to be out there. But I like, if you have an offensive line, I like having options. Okay, Andy, I like to know that there's more than just five guys who I could possibly put out there. Okay, let's talk tight ends, Andy. That's the one place we haven't been. And, you know, at the top, Tyler Warren, you've got a good one, a very good one there. They've historically, it's year after year now, they just passed the baton. You know, last year's number two becomes this year's number one, three becomes two, and they backfill coming in with the young people. My question is a little bit more on formations and sets. A year ago, 2 years, they've been running a lot of two and even three tight end sets. Are we going to keep seeing that, Andy?
I mean, when all roads point back to the wide receiver, and we've already talked about it being, close your eyes and put some lipstick on the pig. Why not? I mean, I've seen more out of Khalil Dinkins as a pass catcher from the tight end position that excites me than from the wide receiver position. I mean, Tyler Warren, he could have gone to the NFL. I think it was I think he's served himself well by coming back because it's his time to be a star, right? He's a big athletic tight end who makes clutch catches, knows how to get himself open, red zone weapon, and it's his time to be a star. I don't know. What do you think you'd rather see? Two tight ends or three wide receivers on the field when your two tight ends are Tyler Warren and Khalil Dinkins? You tell me, Jimmy. I know what I want. I'd rather see two receivers, maybe one receiver, two running backs, and two tight ends. Build it that way. You take your best assets and build around them. And I think at the tight end position, you throw Andrew in there, redshirt freshman, supremely talented. They've got three options. Two of them we know enough about. One of them's a stud. You got to use them, Jimmy. They're there for a reason. Don't let them sit on the sidelines and collect dust.
What it's going to be, as far as I'm concerned, is looking to Andy Kotelnicki to see how he creates matchups that he likes, you know, by having two running backs in there and having one motion out. Do you create a mismatch there? Having more than one tight end, are you going to create mismatches there? It'll be fascinating to watch how he does that, how he manipulates players, because one of the things that we've been told right from the start is look for a lot of shifting and motions pre-snap. And one of the great quotes, and I don't know if it was Kotelnicki or somebody else who said, talking about Kotelnicki's coaching, is the offense owns the time pre-snap. They're the ones who control things.
Right.
And they control it by moving players around, shifting them around to create a matchup that they like. And, you know, I'm taking a long way to get to the point of, I think Tyler Warren can be a matchup issue. Can Khalil Dinkins be a matchup issue? Can Nick Singleton be a matchup issue?
So let me play a little game with you, Jimmy. If you're looking at Penn State's, you know, as our offense is set up for 2024, give me your top two, maybe even your top three pass catching options in any position, any way, shape, or form. Give me your top two.
If it's just top two receiving options, Tyler Warren has to be one of them. And, you know, it's maybe not the answer you're looking for, Andy, but it's got to be one of those receivers, where wide receivers, where it's Julian Fleming or Trey Wallace, because running backs are running backs for a reason and not wide receivers. You're not going to see, you know, Nick Singleton, you know, out wide running a fly pattern down the field.
Correct.
You need to have those wide receivers be that threat to expand the field.
I agree with you, Jimmy. I agree with you. It has to be some sort of emergence. But I'm saying on its pure merits, who are the guys that you think are most capable of catching passes and doing damage in this offense? For me, yeah, you're right. It's Tyler Warren is the top of the list right now. Everybody on the roster. Second, Nick Singleton. In space, catching the ball. He's a better option than a receiver right now. You're right. They're going to need the receivers to do it. But right now, your best two options are a tight end and a running back. Use them.
All right, Andy. That's it for quarter two. Stick around. Quarter three, we're going to ask Andy. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andrew P. Shea. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We're going to take your questions. And Andy will give you the best answer he could come up with. If you want to send a question in to Andy, just go to our app, download it, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button. Before we get started, I just wanted to mention, Andy, you may talk of, you know, Tyler Warren, Nick Singleton as the best weapons on the field. But like I said, you need to have a threat down the field.
I know.
You need that from the wide receivers to open up the rest of the field. All right, let's get to our questions. Let's start with our good friend Jimmy in Forest City, who says, Andy, Luke Combs had a concert at Beaver Stadium, which, by the way, was a huge success from everything I'm hearing, Andy.
Luke put
big
on a
crowd. It was quite a show. Who would you like to see at Beaver Stadium in concert? Or how about a non-football sports event at Beaver Stadium? What are you thinking?
So, really good question. I like this. Don't know if I'm showing my age or my bias, but for me, who would I like to see in Beaver Stadium in concert? It would be Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. He fills up stadiums. He does big stadiums. He does, you know, Citizens Bank Park, Orioles. You know, he's done Fenway, so he has the ability to fill a big venue. Not too far from New Jersey in the Philly area, so I don't think they'd have a problem putting 100,000 people in a Bruce Springsteen concert in that building. Non-football, this one is, it's a good question, easy, and it might even be a bucket list for me. I'm a Flyers fan. I love hockey. I'm an NHL fan. So because I'm a Flyers fan, that means I hate the Penguins. But my favorite would be an NHL game between the Flyers and Penguins in Beaver Stadium. Let the NHL come in, set up the ice. I would have to go. I wouldn't care how much the ticket cost. It wouldn't matter. I would want to be there, not because I hate the Penguins, even though I always hate the Penguins. I would just love to see that hockey game with those two fan bases in the same stadium, in a neutral site. That would be so much fun to me. That just would be the ultimate. I dare say it, I would put that on my bucket list, Jimmy.
Well, I'm not the hockey fan that you are, not nearly, but here's what I do understand. I understand rabid fan bases, okay? Penguins and Flyers, you got that. A
couple of good ones.
And if you've got a neutral venue halfway between the two, and by the way, this, you know, Penguins, Flyers, or, you know, Pirates, Phillies, Steelers, Eagles, what you have is a situation where it's not just the two cities that are a couple hundred miles apart. You have the entire state, okay?
Divided.
Is divided along those lines. Talk and put in a neutral field where the fan bases are 50-50. That's the other requirement I would make. Have half the tickets go to each side, okay? To me, that would make it better, and that would be incredible. The last note I'll make just on the concert side, the music side, I'm in agreement with you on Bruce Springsteen, maybe showing my age a little bit also, but I think Springsteen spans generations, okay? It's a big-time show. But I also just want to point out, the Rolling Stones just started another tour, okay? And they've been around for over 60 years.
Mick Jagger.
60 years! Mick Jagger is 80 years old. When he's up jumping around on stage, that's an 80-year-old man doing it, Andy. And he's still doing it. So that would be... I'd be fascinated, too, by seeing the Rolling Stones there in concert. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Jason in Willow Grove, who says, Andy, I am neither a James Franklin hater nor a fanboy. But if they ever moved on from him, two things. Who would you like to see get the job, and who is realistic to get the job?
Oh, that's a good one. I have one guy who I think fits both. I think he's been an NFL coordinator twice now. He's also had a couple stints as a college football head coach. I think he fits the fan base. My answer would be to both questions would be Al Golden. He coached at Miami. I think he deserves another shot at a college football program. Maybe he doesn't, but I just think he would fit. I think he's a really, really good football coach and a really, really good football mind. Penn State kind of fits. I've always been a fan of his. I've always thought he's got a lot of mileage out of himself as a coach. So my answer is Al Golden.
Well, you could probably guess where I'm going to go with this, Andy.
It's Manny Diaz. Every day and twice on Sunday, you just put your Manny Diaz fanboy t-shirt and glasses on.
I do.
You do. I told everything you when they hired him. Wait till you're going to love this guy. He's a mad scientist. He's a fantastic coordinator, and he's going to make this team all about defense. And he did.
I love what he did with the defense. He had talent, but he knew how to use it. It was fun to watch. It was exciting. It was effective. It was all of those things.
Plus, he has great.
Then, yeah, yes, jealous of that. But the other part to this, Andy, is I've talked to multiple players about him, and they, and off the record, not in an interview setting, but it's always been their eyes light up when talking about Manny Diaz, and in talking with our colleague Landon Tenwall about him, he said, Jim, he's not just a coordinator. He would address the whole team like a head coach. And I believe there's no doubt he's a recruiter. He relates to the players well. He shows the leadership skills. He obviously would emphasize the defensive side. It would behoove him to bring in a very good offensive coordinator. I'm going to be curious to see how he does at Duke. I will be rooting for him, of course, but I think having his time up here, I think he enjoyed his time here. The fan base embraced him. The players embraced him. And I think the other part to this, Andy, is because he spent some time here coaching and the fans really were drawn to him, the team, the players were drawn to him, I think that would help him in doing the job. So I'm all Manny Diaz all day long, Andy. I don't know if we're going to see the moment anytime soon. I doubt it, but that's the way I would go. All right, let's go to Al in Wilmington, Andy, who says, who are your couple breakout players for the 24 season?
Couple breakout players. I think in order for Penn State to reach a certain level and fulfill some expectations, I think it's got to be – one of them's got to be a receiver, and I'm going to land on Caden Saunders. I think he's a breakout candidate. So I'll take him on the offensive side of the ball. Good question, Al in Wilmington. I like that. So on the other side of the ball, Al, this is a breakout guy to a degree. Was a timeshare guy last year. Split time at defensive end. Of course, it's denied Dennis Sutton. Very productive. Very productive, especially in a timeshare role. I just think he's going to be a monster. Jimmy, I just think he's going to be an absolute terror. In all ways, shapes, and forms as a defensive end, and he's going to morph himself into a high NFL draft pick. You can just see it. It's right there in front of you. That's a timeshare role he was in last year, and he's performing like that.
I think all the tools are there for him, Andy, Absolutely. And all that's left is the opportunity Correct. To be the first guy in, and that's what he's going to get this year. It's going to be exciting to see.
Here it comes.
I'll give you my couple of names, and this I hope is not an overreaction to the spring game, but a year ago I watched KJ Winston play that spring game and I said, there's my guy. That's my breakout guy. Yeah. This year I saw AJ Harris play. Only saw him one game and it was a spring game, Andy.
We're talking about practice.
I am talking about practice, but I loved the way he played in that practice game. That was the first time he was in Beaver Stadium playing in front of something of a crowd, and he passed every test. He was physical. He was aggressive. He tackled well. He did all those things that I'm looking for. I'm not sure if a five-star who comes through the transfer portal is what you're going to call a breakout candidate, but that's the name I'm going to use. On the offensive side, and this is one that, and I'm going to be cautious how I say this, but I'm going to put out there Cooper Cousins, and I know he's very young, and I know, Andy, if everything goes right on the offensive line, he's not going to play, or not play much, not going to play significant downs.
Yeah.
But how often does everything go right on the offensive line? So I think he's right there knocking on the door, and I wouldn't be surprised if he stepped up. Let's see if we could sneak in
one more.
Let me sneak in Henry from Pottstown. In the way too early poll that you guys talked about a week or two ago, Penn State was ranked 9th. Which would have had them play number 8 Missouri at Missouri. Would they need to win that first playoff game for you to call the season a success?
No.
And real quick, I just want to mention, by the numbers, that might have been the case, but when you get the highest 4 seeds based on conference, Penn State would be dropped down actually to number 11. It would have worked out. I think I looked at it like Oregon. They'd play a higher seed than that. Do they need to win a playoff game for it to be considered successful, Andy?
No. I think they have to make it, though. They have to make it. In the expanded playoff field, as close as they've been, I don't feel they have to win a game in order for it to be deemed successful. I don't. If they get there and make it and are part of it in the expanded field, that's the job done.
All right, that's the last word for quarter 3. Stick around. We got to look at the defense when we come back. We've had such a great response to our F-45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F-45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F-45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F-45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We are talking Penn State football. And Andy, this seems to be becoming a tradition. I need to start a segment by referring back to the last segment, because I want the last word, Andy.
No.
We were talking off the air about different scenarios, and Henry's question essentially was, if Penn State finishes in a way too early poll, they had them finishing ninth. By that regard, they would play the number 18 Missouri at Missouri. The problem is the numbers would change a little bit because you've got, you know, conference winners who would get those high bids, and it would actually push everyone down like two spots. Penn State would have been 11th, which I guess would have them playing the number 6 team, which I think in our scenario would have been Oregon because they would have been pushed down and on the road. And I'm with you, Andy, making the playoffs. If they finish like 9th, 10th, 11th, they're probably going to be 10-2. I think reasonable fans would take that. That's fine. You go on the road against like the number 6 team in the country and you don't win that game, I think that's okay. But the scenario that you brought up, one where what if they finish 11-1?
Right.
And maybe host a playoff game.
Yeah, you better win that game.
If you've got a home playoff game, you better win it. That's number one, well, okay?
If you won 11 games, you better not lose the 13th.
Right. You either want to get that bye from the first round, or if you don't get, you know, in the top four, but you're somewhere, you know, that 5-8 range, and you get a home playoff game.
Got to win that game.
You got to win that game because you're playing a lower seed.
Correct.
So you should be favored. You're at home.
Got it.
It would be a disappointment if you didn't win that. All right, Andy, we're getting questions for the different position groups. Let's hit the defensive line. Who do you have greater confidence in, Andy? The defensive tackles or the defensive ends?
Oh, the defensive tackles. Every day and twice on Sunday. Every single day and twice on Sunday. Love the defensive ends. Strength up the middle. Give it to me any time. As we flip over to defense real quick, I got to give you my reminder to you and your Penn State and the Penn State fans, Jimmy. Just let you know where this defense is at and what they're starting from, right? Where they're beginning. Four of Penn State's top five tacklers from last year are back again. I'm just saying. KJ Winston, Abdul Carter, Kobe King, Jalen Reed, all back. So they've got some stuff to work with, but center of the field, right up the middle, these four guys, Devon Ellis, I'm just going to name them, Zane Durant, Keziah Izzard, Hakeem Beamon, been around a long time, developed, gotten better, become a strength, become an asset. They allow the defensive ends to be a little bit more aggressive and do what they do. The defense, everyone looks at the edges, the edge rushers, the corners, you know, the box and the safety. Don't forget to look down the middle of the field. These guys are a strength. I love the defensive tackles. A little surprised. All four of them came back. Better for Penn State because it is a pure strength of this defense. It's straight up the middle with those guys.
I think it's interesting. The difference between the players at defensive tackle and the players at defensive end are similar to the differences, Andy, between the position groups. Defensive tackles are not going to make the spectacular play. They're going to hold down the fort. You want a high floor there. Defensive end, they're the guys who are going to hit the home runs. They're the ones who are going to sack the quarterback. And those are the guys. You talked about Danai Dennis Sutton being the guy who's going to explode this year. You have Abdul Carter on the other side. I'm not saying you're wrong by having probably I'm more confident in the floor, the higher floor of the defensive tackles. I wonder where the higher ceiling is, though. And I'm anxious to see that. All right. So that is at defensive line. Let's go to linebacker, Andy. And, you know, it's interesting. After Curtis Jacobs and Abdul Carter, one going to the NFL, one shifting to defensive end, that's a lot of talent leaving the room.
It is.
You've got Kobe King coming back, who I think a lot of us feel very confident in him in the middle. I think he made great strides from his year two to his year three. But my question is on Tony Rojas. We're all ready to anoint him as the next big thing at linebacker. He doesn't have a lot of seat time out there, nope. Andy.
He does not.
How good is he going to be right away?
He's not going to be very good right away. He's going to make some splash plays, but he's going to make a lot of mistakes. Guess what? He's got the number four tackler on the team who made a ton of progress last year. And I'm saying in like four game blocks, you break it down by a quarter pole. He got better each quarter. He became a more solid tackler, became a little better side to side, started reading the game better. Guess what? Tony Rojas with his hair on fire, which is what you're going to kind of want out of your out of that linebacker and that kid, because that's the way he plays the football game. Guess what? He's got a rock-solid wingman. Hello, help. He's still not going to be great. They're going to play a lot of 4-2-5 linebacker. I want to see him cover a little. I want to see his drops in pass coverage and see how he does in the middle of the field, because when you're playing that kind of defense, you've got to do a little bit of both. But I still think there's a role for Dom DeLuca in a specialist role, sort of a.k.a. Curtis Jacobs when he first broke into Penn State. There is a role for him in this, but those are your two main linebackers, and I don't think you have a problem at the linebacker position, despite the lack of seat time for Tony Rojas.
I agree on a lot of things that you said. With Tony Rojas, I don't think he's necessarily going to be bad to start, but I think it's one of those where he'll make mistakes.
Oh, he's going to make a ton of
He'll fill the wrong gap, or he'll over pursue or do those kind of mistakes that young players make, but he'll also make plays for you. The thing is, you just hope that early on those growing pains don't hurt too much. I'm also glad you brought up Dom DeLuca, who I think, you know, having that legacy as a walk-on, I think the expectation level is set a little bit lower for a player. And I think Dom DeLuca gets overlooked sometimes, but he will contribute.
Now, his role is going to be important, because they're going to need some help on the edge to bring some additional heat, and he's built for that.
And it's going to be, you know, is the next generation ready to come up? You know, Tyler Elsdon, for example, he gets a lot of heat from the Penn State fan base.
Yep.
But it's like, how, you know, what role will he serve? Will somebody surpass him as the number two guy at middle linebacker? Who's going to be part of this, you know, next generation? Is it Tamir Robinson? Is it Kavion Keys? You know, we're hearing a lot about these young players.
Wiley, don't forget about him.
I've been waiting for him to have his breakthrough moment also. So it will be interesting to see who steps up. Andy, let's start with the cornerbacks in the defensive backfield. We know the three that they lost. Hardy, King, Dixon. Now this new group. Are there any NFL cornerbacks taking over here in 2024?
Yeah, Harris is a dog. He's exactly what you expected, right? This is what they advertised him as, and it got you all enamored in spring game. You're like, oh, he's exactly what they said they were. He is. And he came here for a reason, opportunity. There wasn't a deep field he had to plow through to get to an elite highlight himself the player role. It was an open door at Penn State because the cornerback position is Penn State's defensive construction zone for 2024. That's what it is. He's a new guy in the transfer portal. Ken Miller's still going to play solid, has some development to do. But I think he's a good corner. I think, he's a potential NFL. But look at the cornerback position differently. It's a little narrower scope, and it's the Penn State construction zone defensively for 2024. But the transfer they got from Georgia, that dude can play. And he's only going to get better as he gets more comfortable and confident.
I'm with you, as you know. I was enamored by AJ Harris.
Because he's exactly what you thought he would be. And that's good.
And I think Cam Miller, still, I keep saying, he took a bad rap.
He did.
For the Peach Bowl. I think that was a case of just Ole Miss just played so well. Their quarterback, their receivers, that was the story. It wasn't Cam Miller not doing his job.
Right.
It was Ole Miss going over and above.
You know what Ole Miss did to him? It was legal football hazing. And they just took that poor kid out to the woodshed and buried him. And guess what? He played well. He did the best he could, and he actually wasn't bad. They abused him, but that's not who he is. That is not who he is as a corner.
See, I think we agree. I would just phrase it different. I don't think he should have been embarrassed. I think the fan reaction was, look how he got embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't think he was. I think he played pretty well. He just ran up against a better quarterback, yep, wide receiver,
yep,
and tight end, combo. Ole Miss just played really, really well in that game.
Right.
Their offense cannot take that away from them. All right, that leaves us with safety, Andy, and they're good. We know they're good.
They're great.
Okay. My question is just how effective will this three safety configuration it will probably be their base defense. How effective is that going
to
be?
Yeah. Jimmy, they have to be on the field, right? I mean, KJ Winston, NFL guy, right? Boom. End of story. But the way Zakee Wheatley and Jalen Reed developed last year in their sort of timeshare, part-time, three-quarter time roles, you can't keep them off the field. They have to play, Jimmy. They're that good. They were that productive. They did that little wrong. I mean, that is where you're at the safety position. They have to be on the field, Jimmy, because they're three of your five best defensive players in the backfield.
And Andy, I think it fits, what Tom Allen wants to do. It fits with the modern day college football game, yep, looks like. Andy, unfortunately, that is it. We are out of time. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.